This is always the worst part of the trip. But I'm very thankful to be home safely. It's been an amazing week. You can't understand unless you've been there, but it's pretty much a highlight of the year. And I just want to say thank you for helping us and all your prayers and support. It really helped to make the week successful. A little bit of what I did is Saturday night, Tiffany always prepares for Sunday. We have Honduran ladies that fix our meals all week, but Sunday she does it. And so we help her with that prep. And then I'm basically helping in the pharmacy where we count out pills and all of that stuff. And that's pretty much what I do all week. Whatever he asks, we do. Yeah, whatever Daniel asks, we do. I enjoy the whole thing from start to finish. It's just, I enjoy the whole experience. And I'm glad we make it home safely. Some of the times I don't know how we make it with all of our mirrors, and everybody else keeps their mirrors. When you have a one-lane road and it becomes three, but that's part of the experience, and it's just part of it. I enjoy meeting the people on the team. That's always fun. We had several new ones this year, and I think it's one of the biggest they've had. One of the new experiences for me was they rented a bus twice this past week, and that was an experience. Usually we have five or six cars that we all pile into, and trying to get 30 to 50 people in five cars is interesting. But it's part of it, and again, I enjoy it. And that's my two cents, and I'll let everybody else fill in the cracks. But thank you again for all your support and your prayers.
Every day is an adventure, and it's always something different. Every day is different. We set up in churches sometimes, we set up in schools sometimes, and there's different sizes, and usually they're not very big, and so we can be pretty cozy, shall I say, pretty close to each other sometimes doing it. Anyway, we treated different villages you go to, tend to have certain things that you'll treat more. But this week, it seemed to me more like, as a whole, it was kind of averaged out, but we treated a lot of urinary tract infections. I treated one that thought she had probably had it for at least 6 months, and I'm thinking, how did she not get septic? It's like a blood infection, and people die from that. And several people had had them for quite a while. Had quite a few high blood pressures and high blood sugars, which we treated those, but both of those, we have to recommend them go to the clinic or to a doctor or something, because we can't cure those. We just give them a little medicine to get them by for a week or two, and try to educate them on how important it is that they get that treated. We had a lot of cough and colds and allergies. They have a lot of dust. We were there in the rainy season, and still, like, the next day it would be dry dust everywhere. And so they have a lot of sinus irritation, inflammation, allergy kind of symptoms. A lot of stomach problems, a lot of acid reflux and that kind of stuff. It seems like every year we go, we have a lot of that kind of thing. We have to make do. It's not like in the States, your doctor can write a prescription for whatever. We have to use the medicines that we take. And so maybe we run out of something, and you have to just try to make do with the other things that you have. One thing that we ran out of right away, or felt like it was right away, was muscle rub. People have sore, achy muscles. Those guys go out there and work hard and in the sun and everything. And even a lot of ladies, they really need the muscle rub. So we've agreed that we'll take a bunch more next year. We thought we took a lot this year. Okay. It takes a lot of different kind of people to do the job. You don't have to be a nurse or a doctor to go. It's a lot of fun to be a nurse or a doctor to go, so if you want to go to school for that. But we take all of our food, like your lunch, your drinks, with us. We take all of our medicines we're going to use, all of the gifts that we're going to give to them, the tables that we're going to set our medicines on and use as a desk to work from, our chairs, waste baskets. We take everything with us. So we have a big truck loaded with all of that stuff. And someone has to load it up and unload it at each place that we go to. We go to one village a day. But it is a lot of physical work, and we need a lot of people for that. We obviously have more people who are not medical than who are medical to work. There's no way I don't even try to help carry that kind of stuff. Then when we're at our clinics, then we have to have runners, someone who takes the medicine to the providers. Like, we set up with all the medicines we think that we're more likely to need, but then we will have runners who will say, hey, go get me some Cipro. And so they'll go to wherever the pharmacy is and get the amount of Cipro you have asked for, and they bring it back to you. And we just keep people running back and forth. There's a lot of people that are very, very busy. Daniel said, my dad taught me to not lean on the broom. Well, I'll tell you what, Daniel has us to not lean on the broom. So we hit the road running. But I do feel like we accomplished a lot in 1 week's time. The mountains, they're beautiful. They just about take my breath away every time. I just love to see them. They're just gorgeous. But there's no protection along the side of the road, and we're in mountains. You're either going up or down all the time. And there's really sharp curves all the time. And riding that bus that she was talking about, I was by the Wendell two different trips. And the roads, they're dirt and rock. So sometimes, like, it's washed away or something clear into where your tires are going. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, you hope they go fast enough that they make it through those little places. And you look down, and down, and then down farther, and down farther, and down farther. It's a long ways down there in some of those places, but it's beautiful. Well, Ken sat by the window a time or two, and he looked down. He's used to me fussing at him when he's driving, but I can't fuss at the bus driver. So, and when you turn those sharp curves, they have to have a little allowance room, so you can be pretty close to the edge, especially if you're by the window. So we're driving along, and Ken goes, ooh, that was really close. I said, I know. So I thought that was funny because I had been watching it. Let's see what else. We went to a place on Thursday that we had gone to last year on Thursday. I'm trying not to take too long. And it's a very small little community, but they didn't have bathrooms at their school. And our group took up money to build them bathrooms. So I can't remember exactly how much it was, like $700 or $800, something like that, to build them bathrooms for their school. So they got those built this year. So earlier in the week, Daniel had told us we were going to go there. So I heard someone say, when we was out somewhere, they said, because we had some pretty bad bathrooms this year, they said, oh, well, I'll tell you one place we're going to have good bathrooms because we paid for them to have new ones this year. These ones are new. So I don't think you got pictures, right? I've got pictures on my phone, a couple, if you want to see them. But anyway, this real small, nice little building here, painted, newly painted, has two doors that they actually close and everything. You open the door. Well, there is a commode, not our kind of commode. It doesn't have any thing to flush it with. But there is a dirty 5-gallon bucket in there with a big bowl and sitting inside of it with did have water in it. The time I got there, there wasn't any water. But you're supposed to flush it. You're supposed to, like, dip some water with your bowl and dump it in the commode. The commode head was just a round bowl that you sit on. No flush, nothing else. And it was a little dirty in there. And there was no toilet paper, of course. Most of them don't have that kind of stuff once in a while. Anyway, it was interesting. I thought, yeah, we paid for a new bathroom, but. let's see. You know, it's expensive to go, and we really appreciate your support. It still does cost us money on top of that, but that's okay. It's an expensive experience, but yet it's not. There are people who got saved this week. And the Lord would say if there's one, it's worth more than anything that all of our church could put together. There wasn't as many people, adults anyway, as prayed this week as have in time past when we've gone. But there have been. There was some adults. I don't have the numbers. There were some adults who prayed and got saved this week, and there were quite a few children. And I feel like that's a value that we can never place a dollar number on it. But I also feel like that our people who go, and any of our young people, if they could go, if any of our adults can go, I feel like it's an experience that you can't put value on either. How I look at things here in the States is so different than before I ever went there. What they don't have is just amazing, and they make it, and they're happy, and they're appreciative of every little thing we do. Thank you so much for the money and the support that you guys have given us and for the prayers. What else was... There was one more thing I was going to tell you guys, and I can't remember what it is. So anyway, if you get a chance and if you can, I do recommend that all ages that you do take one trip. I feel like it is definitely worth it.
She told me I wasn't supposed to talk very long. And she did pretty good. She did pretty good. Anyhow, it was really interesting. She mentioned about the roads, and she was I'll tell them what you forgot. We were coming up the hill, and there was a semi, a straight truck coming down the hill at the curve, and here we are, and there's only room for one vehicle. And so we're backing and forth and all this stuff, and finally we get past them. It was really, really tight with the bus. I'm sorry. We were riding in the bus. She wanted to say that part, so I remember I tried to get her attention to tell her, you know, but how are you going to tell somebody about the bus? But anyhow, she mentioned about the roads. It is so dry. They're so dry up there. But, you know, it's pouring down rain. You can't figure out how it would ever get dry again. But I'll tell you why it got dry. It's because they've done washed off all the dirt. And it's all just rock. And so it dries out just real quick like. And when you're driving over bare rocks, it's pretty obvious, especially whenever you're riding in an SUV. And this guy, you all know him too, or you met him, okay? I don't know if the Levi? Leva. Okay, the Levas that were here from Dominican Republic, the young man and his wife were the young man was the driver, and his wife sat up there and never hardly peeped. But anyhow, he was zooming around these corners, you know, and me, I'm sitting back there, and I can't talk to him because he can't understand English, you know. And I tried it a couple of times, and he finally told me, he said, he told Daniel to tell me that he couldn't understand. And so we're driving, and he made a really quick little move, you know, and I just looked up at him, and I said, "Okay, Keith." And they all know Keith. But, you know, he just quicker, you know. And when I did that, I saw his old beard just stick out. He just grinned from ear to ear. Never said a word, but he caught it. He knew. I asked him, I said, you guys know Keith Shaper? And when I said Keith Shaper, both of them lit up like a Christmas tree. And I thought, yeah, they know Keith Shaper. But she had come, she was from Guatemala. She went to school there in Jalapa, so I knew that she knew him, and it was quite an experience. And it was one of the things that I was going to say, and I can't remember. That's one thing that's really neat about being old. You can blame it on the senior moments. But anyhow, it was pretty interesting. Now, this picture does not do the mountains any justice. It looks like, when you look at the picture, it looks like it's just straight out to the mountains you see out there. But honey, it ain't straight. It's straight down about 6 foot off, about 8, 10 foot off the road. It's just whoop, about 30 feet, maybe more. And then it goes down through that big long valley, and you see the other side over there. But it looks like it's just flat when you look at the picture here. But it's not flat. There's no flats out there hardly. And if there is a flat, you would think that a farming community like they are, they would use that for a farm. But no, you know what they do? I've noticed that most of the valleys, the flat valleys, would have a big flat field there. There's a soccer field in that clearing. They love soccer, and it's pretty interesting. And like she said, if you get a chance to go down there, you should do it, because for two things, it'll be an experience, and whenever you go there, you feel like that you're going to be help. You're going to try to help them. But it's just like when you go to camp meeting, you go to help or whenever you go to a service, you go to help, and when you come away, you realize that it wasn't them that got to help; it was you. It's really something. I woke up several mornings because my system is pretty much geared to what I do every day, and so at 4:30 our time here, I wake up and it's 2:30 there, and so you try to go back to sleep, and I can't go back to sleep. So I thought, well, I started praying, and I asked the Lord to help us as we're out there. Some of the messages that Brother Ziegler has been bringing to us, he's saying, you know, the target the devil's put on your back. And I asked him, Lord, would you please blur the Satan's sights, blur his scope, just crack do whatever you need to so that he can't hit people. And there was quite a few preachers that the Lord brought to my mind. And so I was praying, Lord, please blur Satan's sights. They have enough things to deal with. And please give them, and also put a shield between them and Satan, because they need some help, Lord. There's just no way that any of us can handle all that pressure that we face. And then our preachers face a whole lot more than that. And I guess I probably better quit, but I just want you to know that we're a very fortunate people. We're a very fortunate people to have the pastor we do.
Picture still there?
What's that?
The picture still there?
Yeah, the picture's still there.
Thanks. Am I on okay? Can you hear me okay?
We good? Okay. All right, well, I kind of put this together at the last minute, but I did talk to Brother Ziegler, and he said it would be more interesting with pictures, so it may be a little scattered, but I finished this probably 4:45, something like that. So anyway, you pray for us here while we do this. But before I forget, I do want to reiterate what others said about the, I really do appreciate, it makes it the church's missionary trip. It's not just us, it's not just the whites. Everybody gave, and I really do want to say a sincere thank you from the bottom of my heart on that. And I also want to tie up a quick loose end. Diana was talking about the restrooms that we helped to build. And what she didn't mention, those are the only restrooms I think I've ever seen. They're kind of like little outhouses, what we would call them. The locks on the outside of the door. Why would you build that when you can't lock it on the inside? So you go in and you really hurry because you don't want to get walked in on. I have no idea why they did that. But anyway, that's what struck me about those restrooms. Anyway, but they were nicer at least, and they were cleaner than last year for sure. So, all right, so I thought I'd just try to give us some highlights of pictures and stuff that at least that I took. I'm probably not as technologically advanced as some, so this is just stuff from my phone, and I'm sure I've missed a lot what others have. But first picture, like Ken said, I always feel like I can't get that depth perception that I want. This is kind of the best we can do, but we always make comments. The pictures just never do it justice, but this is the best we've got here to start out. So, all right, everything changed all right, didn't it? Okay, perfect. Well, now it changed twice. All right, back at the airport, this is kind of where we land and we get out and where Daniel picks us all up and takes us off to the mission, along with the whole enclave that's going. There's a whole bunch of us. But it was kind of interesting. One story at the airport that I thought was interesting this year, he always tells us, you know, if you get through there, you keep going because they stop people and you don't know how it's going to be. So if you get waved through, just go through. Don't ask questions, just move, right? So unfortunately, a lot of us, as we were going through, they would say, you can take your suitcase, leave the medicine. You can take your suitcase, leave the medicine. Well, he had already applied for all the privileges and the permission and all that, but they just dragged their feet on everything. They had not given him the final permission. So they made everybody this year leave their medicine. And when we got through, Daniel told him, hey, you know, what's going on? We've already got permission. This should be going through. And said, well, we can't do anything till Monday because it's a national holiday at that time. And he said, well, that's not going to work because you're going to have an airport full of people sleeping here until you guys get this going. So they literally waved us on through. Even with all of our medicine, they never looked at any of it. I mean, I'm sure it was okay. But the thing is, the next group, there was another medical missions group of some kind behind us. They stopped them and took every bit of their medicine. So I don't know how that turned out, but I was very grateful. I mean, I feel bad for those people, but I am very grateful that God did at least help us get our medicine through. So you never know what you're going to, just from the airport, can be an adventure from just that point on. So here are some people you know. So those of you who haven't gone don't know, but the first meal we have is Pizza Hut, right? Once we get there, he plans to try to get us there around lunchtime, and then we go to Pizza Hut. And it's better than it is here. I don't know why, but it is better. It really is. We plan for around noon, and by the time you get everybody out of the airport, we have a meal about, what, 2:30, 3 o'clock by the time we actually. And then you got to have supper once you get to the mission. And that doesn't include you have to stop and have coffee at a gas station that's really good, has a big coffee bar in it. So we do eat a lot. So by supper, you're kind of stuffed. So let's see. Next, this isn't maybe the best picture. This is the clinic. We're getting ready to organize medicines here. That is the building we used to organize medicines right there. But it kind of is U-shaped, and I'm on the other side of that U taking that picture. So that is last year, that upper story is where we did everything. Now there's a wall built in there, and we did everything in which is really the top of the new clinic building. So from where I'm standing, I'm taking a picture, but that's where we sorted everything. But believe me, that's a very busy afternoon. And that is always after we have service and eat on Sunday. You have to get the medicines packed to go out early Monday morning. So. And every day starts out with breakfast. Another good shot. Sorry to pick on the whites, but I wanted you to feel what it was like to go through the day. We always start out with a good breakfast, and the Honduran food is, at least what we eat, is excellent. Pretty much every day has tortillas and red beans, but they're kind of different red beans than what we have. They're really good, I think. So thank you to the whites for posing for that. Then we head out. This is one of our caravans. I can't remember what happened here, but Daniel's out there trying to see because the truck stopped. That truck in the lead has all of our medicine on it, and that's, I think, the Red Cross is the Toyota behind them. Red Cross always goes out with us and helps set up everything, and they help with the medicine with the people. It's, of course, the Honduran natives that are doing that. We get there. Here's a good action shot with Ken. And she said, we're busy. We are. We're always helping unload the trucks. Those crates are full of medicines. And one day I accidentally got the crate that was full of Tums, and that is heavy. So you want to try to avoid that when you're unloading the truck. But you never know but what you get. But you just grab what you can and just help. So, but that's Ken helping unload all the medicines to start the brigade. And there's my wife, and her and Ken actually help get all the medicines set up. And then they count them all out, and if you need something, you go ask one of them, and they'll have it ready for you pretty quick. So they're a huge part of this team, Ken and Jelaine are. Usually they'll have another assistant helping somewhere, but they kind of run the pharmacy. Let's see. And this really is probably the most important part is... And I think I've mentioned this before, every clinic starts with a service, right? All those people are going to hear the gospel before they ever get to go to the brigade and actually get medicine handed out. And I'm not sure how many services they have because people straggle in throughout the day. Do you guys remember? I mean, I'm sure it's more than one service, but yeah, everybody gets preached to. And Daniel said he likes it to be the Honduran pastors, and that's one of them right there preaching. And I cannot remember his name, but he's one of the main ones. He's there a lot. We see him a lot. Brother Armaldo or something like that. So anyway, great guy. So he's preaching to the natives there. And again, they do that before a clinic. Now, this next one is Marvin. Anybody who's been to Honduras knows Marvin, right? Marvin worked for the Red Cross. And he is a believer. He's worked for the Red Cross. My wife told me he does it now, so I'm not sure what he does. But every year I've been there in the last year, he is always there organizing everything. The kids love him for obvious reasons. I mean, he'll come out sometimes with a big pinata and have it hanging on a tree, and he'll have the kids beating at it, you know, so they're always entertained. And he came up to, well, I think we were just finished up there. We're still having the service. I got to get a picture of that. Marvin with his... with his nose, but I found he is a professional clown. So I don't know if God calls people to be a clown, but if he ever did, it had to be Marvin because he really uses it to help with the brigade. So had to get an action shot of him. I think he had the stethoscope on my head and doing whatever by the end of that. So if you go, you will meet Marvin. Now, this is Karen, and she is I can't remember her last name, but she is a nurse practitioner. And so, of course, my role's there. That's me doing a knee injection. You can't really see me. You can just kind of see the injection going on here. And in medicine, of course, we have a lot of sayings. So in med school, we'll say P equals MD. In other words, if you pass, you're going to be a doctor, right? That's all that matters is you have to pass. I remember coming out of a really hard test once, and one of my friends says to me, well, you do know what they called the last guy that graduated in the class, don't you? I said, no, what? Doctor. So in other words, you know, you pass, you're going to get there. ER has their own sayings. At Methodist Hospital, I work some, there's what, you know, you want to keep people moving, so they would say your job is to meet them, greet them, treat them, and street them. In other words, you get them through as quick as you can, right? Well, the other one is see one, do one, teach one. That's how you learn. So this is kind of what I did with Karen. She was kind of interested in this. She said, I think this guy needs a knee injection. They all have arthritis, right? And really, a knee replacement's not an option. When you get in these back countries like this, that's never going to happen. Injection may not really cure it, but it may give them 6 months of relief. It does usually help when you give them a little bit of steroid and some lidocaine. So it gives them some relief. So she was interested in that, so I showed her how to do it. I don't have a picture of her doing the next one, but she did the next one. So I did that, see one, do one, and you know, we'll see. Maybe she'll take that on to with her own clinic. She lives in Ohio. She's her husband's, I think, a Nazarene pastor is what she said, but she's from Ohio, and she's a nurse practitioner. There we are, loaded up, going back to the mission. So all that stuff we unloaded, and now you have to load it all back up. You got to put it back on the truck. They got to retarp it and take the tents down and everything, and then you head back to the mission for the night. This is just a shot of the runway. Those of you who've been to Honduras, most of us have probably walked down the runway. It is just absolutely beautiful. I went down there one evening. It's just a great place to, you feel like you're kind of alone with God. They don't use that runway much as a runway anymore, except occasionally they'll have a helicopter come in if they need to transfer somebody out or whatever. But I guess Don Moore used to land on that runway, and if you see it at the very end, it's just like she was talking about those big cliffs. It's a straight drop down, and I think Daniel told me he'd run off the end of that and come down a little bit and then come back up. Now, that would make me nervous. It's not a real long runway, but it is beautiful there at the mission. Okay, now you'll recognize, and there's Holly. We told her she should get up and help tonight, but she said she'd pass, which is all right. But this is kind of at the end of a busy day. That's Cleanna, of course, Daniel's little girl, and I'm sure you recognize Sister White as well. So this was actually the very last day. We actually set up and see all the people that work at the clinic after we've been out with the regular people in the bush and all that. You know, then we actually set up and see people right there in the clinic, and this is after all of that. Right at the end. And there's the job of packing. I think I got a picture in a minute, but there was Andrew, how do you say, is it Palosis or something like that? Palacios, yeah, I was close. Anyway, he's a physician's assistant, and he was excellent. He was with me this year, really a great organizer. And so while I went to the and helped everybody see the all the mission people, I went ahead and had him get everything organized because we have to inventory for Dave Boardman for the spring, and he'll do the same for me. You have to count all those pills out the best you can, have everything organized. So, and we saw another, I don't know, at least 50 people plus at the clinic, so he had this mostly organized by the time we'd finished clinic. Otherwise, we'd have finished clinic and still had another 2 or 3 hours. So he kind of was great to work with this year. And here's a picture of Daniel's birthday. It always occurs during this fall trip, as long as we keep it at this time. He is now 50. So, but I also put this just to remind us to pray for Daniel. He's kind of the interim president now of EFM, and I know he feels that responsibility. And in fact, when I went to the market, I bought a little, I didn't bring it with me, but it's just like a little wooden coffee cup, just a decoration. We were talking, so I just want this to remind me of the trip in Honduras. It has a picture of a bird on it, says Honduras. And so I just want it to remind me. And he looked at me and said, and remind you to pray for Daniel. And so I'm going to try to do that, but I would encourage the church, really, he needs a lot of prayer, him and Tiffany both. When I say Daniel, I include her. He's got a lot on his plate right now. So, but that was a happy occasion. So, well, he was 50. Maybe he didn't think it was, but... Now, this is on the way back. This is going back to the hotel in San Pedro Sula. This was really pretty, and we've not done this before. At least I haven't. The main road to get back was blocked. So he said there was some kind of a government strike, and there was a landslide, and people were tired of the town, San Pedro Sula, not taking care of it. So they have everything blocked. So we had to take the three-hour, which was more like four, I think. I don't know, by the time we got back. But he did know this little neat place that served fish. And, it was a beautiful setting, so that's where we had lunch before the big supper, right? So you eat a lot here. Let's see. And there's what we ate. You know, all good mission stories, they always, since I was a kid, they always talk about the food in foreign countries, right? So this was tilapia, of course, with the head still on. And I think only Mark Sankey does not like fish, and there was somebody else that got queasy and couldn't handle it. But other than that, most of us did eat it. You just take your fork and go to the top of it, and you kind of try to take it off the bones, and you hope you don't get any bone. But the flavor I thought was pretty good. So I could have used some tartar sauce, but other than that, it was pretty good. Yeah, this is Andrew, myself, and Karen. So we were the three providers on the team. That he's the physician's assistant, she's nurse practitioner. This is at the, you can't really, maybe you can see the tables a little bit, but this is where we always have a big dinner at the very end. It's on the seventh floor of the top of a hotel, and that's part of the money that Daniel collects. It goes to that big dinner. It's just kind of a time the team gets together, and we have a big meal together right before we fly out the next morning, and it's absolutely beautiful, and I will say that is one of the best meals you can have, some of the tender steaks and all that. It's just absolutely beautiful. And I think I got a picture of my wife somewhere, but somebody didn't grab my phone and take it. But I'm standing there in some picture with her. So, let's see. And then I, showed this picture here to San Pedro Sula at night. It's a beautiful sight from the top of that building. So. And here's really the most important thing. Some of the, the first day we thought we were going to see a lot more, and the people did not spread the word, so it was kind of a slow day. But still, at the end of the day, at the end of the week, we had seen 774. The important stats are, of course, we've got 71 kids that did pray and 28 adults. And like Diane said, if we get one person really makes it to heaven, and you always wonder, are these people sincere? I have no idea, but that's not my business. That's really God's business. We're there to try to show them the way. So, I always feel like I get way more out of this than I put into it. You can't help but feel blessed when the time you get back. So, thanks again for the opportunity to the church sent us again this year. So, I think that's all I have. Any questions? And if not, I'll turn it back over to Brother Ziegler. Not always. Sometimes he'll go, I think, to a different location. Some of them were where they already had a church, and sometimes he will pick a brand new location in the idea that he's going to try to build a church. So we specifically went back to the one last year that we ended on because that we had paid for that bathroom, but I think they wanted us to see that they had put it back to good use, even though they put the lock on the outside. But. I think other than the last one, I don't think I'd been to any of these before, but it doesn't mean some of the spring groups haven't. I don't know.
We talked about how much that bathroom costs. The lumber and all the building materials there are the same as what they are here. So you may think $900, but they do stretch it.
Yeah. And $900 is a good chunk of money here, but to them it's really a lot. That's true. Yeah, they had to run all the way home. Yeah. So. Bagno. Right. It's a lot better than last year, anyway. I don't know if I did or not. One of us has it. If you really want to see it, okay. I worked hard to get this on the screen. So. It'd probably be another hour before I could figure out how to put another one up there. Anything else? All right. Thanks to everybody again for their support.
Yeah, how many people want to go next time, huh? Yeah. Wow. Oh, my. It is a life-changing experience. I know that, so... Good to hear from. Thank the Lord for the success in ministering to people's lives physically as well as spiritually. And let's do our best to pray for the Meltons as they carry an extra heavy load with the added responsibility of the entire mission. And I know that that's a heavy load. I know that they have things that they are facing with that is hidden behind the scenes, not broadcast out and around. So let's do our best to pray for them. God would touch them. And so thank you so much for sharing with us tonight and for this PowerPoint that stressed you out all afternoon. He called me and he said he was rested and he was going to try to put this together and wondered if we had the equipment. And since his wife is a key holder of the office, they were able to go and get it from the office. And so we're thankful for that as well, because pictures do give us a little bit different of an idea, doesn't it? They could describe, but if we can't see, it's kind of difficult to see and understand what that is. I was supposed to make this announcement, too, and I failed to do so. If you have not yet done so, please RSVP for Janae and Adam's wedding by Wednesday. Otherwise, you might have to bring a chair and a sandwich to the reception. So, that's a joke. The sandwich in the chair is a joke, not the RSVP's joke. So if you're wanting to get that RSVP in, if you're like me when it comes to RSVPs, you wait till the very last minute because you never know what things can change. But keep that in mind for their wedding. Man, I can't believe that that's coming up here in just short order. Short order. Wow. Wow. Let's stand together. Hope you have a good week this week. And blessed by the Lord's presence and help. If you find somebody that needs Jesus, and I'm sure that if you find anybody around you, somebody needs Jesus, share Christ with them. Even if it's like Kimberly says, a smile or a wave. Wave at people, smile at people, and let the light of Jesus shine through you. Amen. Praise God. I hope that you have a good week this week. Still enjoying the effects and the ministry and revival. Still enjoying God's daily presence and help. And so thankful for each one. Amen. Tommy, would you dismiss us in prayer this evening?